You're listening to a message from Victory Fort Bonifacio. Get the latest updates by visiting victoryfort.org or like us on facebook.com/victoryfort.
Redefined. This is our, as I said, week number 16. We started this weeks ago. Our desire was to look at what Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount and how he redefined the law and redefined how we are to live life as people of the kingdom. And I do want to say that when I say that people of the kingdom, that when Jesus gave these commands and these imperatives, he was talking to people who are in the kingdom. In John chapter 3, verse 3, the Bible says, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. And it starts with a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not by grace, it's not by works, but it's by grace through faith that we are saved. And that is by which we are able to enter into the kingdom. And now that we're part of the kingdom of God, this is how we are to live. This is what Jesus explains to us. Now, in 2008, you might have heard that there was Hurricane Ike that swept through Haiti, Cuba, and even southern parts of the United States, where about $37.5 billion worth of damages happened in southern part of the states in Cuba and Haiti, and about 195 people died. And so a huge, huge hurricane. In fact, I looked at some of the articles and news articles. There was one by CNN actually talking about a specific house where the whole area in southern Texas was wiped out except this one house. Okay, the report was called Last House Standing. In fact, this was the picture of the area. I know. All the other houses were wiped out except this one house. And they were wondering, you know, was this photoshopped? They wanted to make sure if this was a real picture. And it really was, okay? And again, if you look closely, the one guy came up to me earlier who was from Texas, and he saw the picture, and he's actually, I don't know if he saw the house, but he said, when you really look at that up close, it really got some major hits, but it stayed standing. And so they wanted to interview the owners of the house. They wanted to interview the contractor of the house. Guess what? The contractor was busy for the next few months and years, right? After that. But the house was built the right way. And the materials were the right materials. And somehow, while everyone else or every other house was wiped out, this particular one stayed standing. And I do want to make a point that it's not about how fast, but it's about how strong we build. Jesus addresses this in this parable or in this metaphor that he uses, his illustration that he uses, that yes, you and I will go through storms. That you and I today, and you might be going through one today, whether that would be in the financial area or relational or something that is of, maybe you've gone through, whether that emotional, something like, or spiritual, it seems like dry and you're going through a wilderness. Well, if we build right, and if we build strong, the house will stand. And so all of us here today, we build. Okay, there's certain things that we build. You know, if you're a student here today, you're building your grade point average. You're building your future career. If you're a single person here today, that's the same thing. You're building your career, maybe your savings. If you're married, you're building your family. You're building relationships with your wife, your spouse, and your children. If you are, if you're a business person today, you're building your credit rating. You're building your name, your business. And so you know this principle. It's really not how fast we build, but it's how strong we build. Because sometimes we build fast, and yet we lose everything along the way because it was hurriedly done. Now, the question for us today, referring to the parable or to the illustration that Jesus gave us, what are we building our lives on? If it is important to build on the right foundation, what is the foundation that we are to build on? Jesus talks about that in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 to 29. So can we all stand, and we're going to read scripture together. We stand to honor God's word. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. The Bible says, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it. Let's bow our heads and pray. Father, thank you. Because, Lord, your word is living and it is active. It is like a double-edged sword. And Lord, as we listen to your word, thank you that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would minister and speak and open our hearts and till the soil of our hearts so that, God, when we receive the word, it will not just take root, it will bear much fruit. And Lord, I pray for every heart here. Lord, I know there's probably a million other distractions, whether that would be our phones or our thoughts of the future. But Lord, I pray that you will keep our minds attentive and our hearts focused on what you're trying to say to the church today. Those on live stream and those here today present, thank you, God, that we're going to learn, apply, and Lord, bring honor and praise to you in a way that would bring pleasure to you, Lord. Thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go ahead and have a seat. Thank you. Jesus ends with a very sobering challenge. Because in Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 6, and chapter 7, he lays down the principles of the kingdom. This is how you are to live. The kingdoms of this world, this is how they live. In my kingdom, this is how you are to live. You know, don't retaliate, keep your oaths, talks about adultery, talks about purity, talks about anger. So these are the principles in my kingdom. And so then he ends with this, what we read earlier, and he said, you are to build your life upon obedience to my word because you are like that house. And if you build strong and you build right, you shall stand even through the typhoons and the hurricanes. Now, as we unpack these verses, I want to divide them into three segments. Let's talk about the facade. We'll talk about the foundations, and we'll talk about the future. When we talk about the facade, Jesus said in verse 24, everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house upon the rock. Okay, though the winds and the storms come, it stands. And then the one who hears the words and then not do them, they're like foolish men, okay, who will build on sand. The rain would fall, again, the floods would come, and then it will fall with a great crash. Okay, and so it's noticeable that when Jesus was talking to the crowd, all right, it was like this. It had this, you know, the two houses were in the same location. The two houses had the same circumstance, same winds, same floods, same storm, same set of materials. Jesus told us, and yet the outcomes were different. From the outside, it was the same. From the outside, you could not notice anything. But what made the difference was the foundation. Everybody say foundation. So that was the main difference. Okay? And in life, you can look at two people, and you cannot see any difference between the two. One lifts up his hands during worship. The other one also lifts up his hands in worship. The other one, okay, pays his taxes right. The other one pays his taxes right. The other one, you know, would give tithes to the Lord. The one would give tithes to the Lord. One will, both of them on the outside, same. But what would be the difference? Part of it would be motivation. All right, and so, you know, one person can be seen as legalism or legalist, as a legalist, but if his heart is out of a grateful, what he does is out of a grateful heart, then it is a pursuit of holiness rather than a legalistic heart. Let me explain. R. Kent Hughes, in his book, Disciplines of a Godly Man, he said it this way. There's a universe of difference between the motivations behind legalism and discipline. Legalism says, I will do this thing to gain merit with God, while discipline says, I will do this because I love God and I want to please Him. legalism is man-centered, discipline is God-centered. And so what Arquette Hughes is saying here, you have two guys standing, both look the same on the outside, but the difference is the motivation of the heart. One will go to please God, the other will go to please God so that he could gain favor from God. The other one understands he already has favor because of his relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, the importance of foundations is clear. Jesus is making it crystal clear for us. He says foundations are going to be revealed when pressure is applied. That's what's going to happen when things and when storms happen, when Hurricane Ikes, those kinds of hurricanes, come into our lives. How will your house fare in those types of storms? And this is what Jesus was talking about, the foundation of his word. He is the cornerstone. We sang about that. He is our foundation. But at least in this metaphor, Jesus was referring to the word of God and obedience to God's word as the foundation of our lives and our Christian walk. And I do want to give that challenge to all of us today, because we may never go through what he went through, going through jail, but you will, I will, we all will go through difficult times and seasons in life. But what will keep you strong is when you stand upon the rock of God's word. Because there will be storms, and I promise you that. It's a promise that nobody wants. It's a promise of a storm that will come. But God says, as you stand on his word, you shall stand firm. Foundations. Foundations. The wise man was on the rock, built his house on the rock. The foolish man, house on the sand. And the word that was used here is the word Petra. The word Petra was not a boulder or a pebble, but it was actually a rock bed. And so that's what he was referring to here. And so when you build on sand, it's easy to build on sand. And those of you who just recently been to a beach, or maybe this week you're going to a beach, right? And so you'll dig on the sand, and it's going to be easy. You can use your fingers to dig a hole in the sand, right? But if you try to dig a hole on a rock bed with your hands, okay, you're going to lose your fingernails or you're going to hurt your hands, right? It says not going to happen. And so Jesus was pertaining to this. It's easy to build foundation on sand. It's hard to build a foundation on the rock. And what does that tell you and me? That reading the word and obeying the word is hard. It's not easy. And that waking up in the morning every single day, reading that word, it's not. We're used to an instant generation today, right? Instant noodles to instant coffee, right? And so you want an instant verse, Instaverse. Now, I think there's an app now, Instaverse, on phone, on Android or iPhone. But listen, reading off somebody else's Twitter feed is not devotions, okay? If they post a Bible verse, that's not devotions. You open your Bible, you read the word every single day. And whether that's morning or evening, the world's upside down now today, right? You know, because of globalization. The morning is 7 p.m. for some call center agents or BPOs. And so, but it doesn't matter what time of the day, as long as you get into the word. And that's not the easiest thing. And when you make decisions to build on the rock of God's word, okay, like that metaphor was given to us, it's hard because you have to make certain decisions. And you know why it's easy to build on sand? Let me show you a picture. There you go. That's why it's easy to build on sand, because you want to stay there. You're just comfortable there. And you just want to hang out there and love the view and just stay there. And it's not pleasant to be on rocks. You just want to be on the sand and in front of the water. And I was talking to a couple weeks ago, and they were explaining to me their situation. They just recently came to the Lord. And they said, but, you know, our dilemma is we're coming to church together and we have a child, but we're not married. And I said, and she said, they were saying, what do we do? I said, I think you know what you need to do. right? What does the Bible have to say about it? And I just threw back the question at them. Well, we know what the scripture says, to live pure and holy for him. And so we were planning to get married. And so, and I told them a story. You know, there's a couple in church, same situation. You know what they did? For a time, they had to separate. And they lived different houses. He went back to his parents' house. She did to her parents' house until they got married. Okay, and they just lived pure and holy until the time. Why? Because they wanted to honor and please the Lord. Is it hard? Yes. But is it the right thing? Absolutely. Does it please the Lord? Of course. Okay. Arthur W. Pink, this is what he said. He said, they bring their bodies to the house of prayer, but not their souls. They worship with their mouths, but not in the spirit and in truth. They are sticklers for immersion or earthly morning communion, but they take no thought about keeping their hearts with all diligence. They boast of their orthodoxy, but disregard the precepts of Christ. In other words, what he's saying is, it's easy to be a Christian in church and just show people externally we're following Christ. But externally we are, but internally we've left our souls. Our hearts are not in there. Last Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, once again we had the National Police in our building. And what a privilege to serve them, and what an honor to actually see them worship the Lord and sing Awit ng Bayan. It was just a pretty pretty amazing sight to see about 1,000, almost 1,200 come together and worship Jesus. And just the decisions to follow Jesus Christ was quite awesome to see. And but you know, I love what Pastor Dennis Isleta said. He came up on stage. He's a retired military colonel who's now one of our pastors in Victory Makati. Pastor Dennis came up and said, you know what? Your devotion, your love for Christ is going to get tested when you go back on duty. It's easy to lift up our hands. It's easy to, you know, clasp our fingers and pray to Jesus today while in this place. But while you're out there, your devotion and demonstration of your love for Christ, that's where the rubber meets the road. And I thought he brought them back into reality. And to all of us, not just the PNP, but just to all of us here as well, that it's, you know, we can do the right things here in church, but at home, at the workplace, your campuses, wherever you go, that's where you will have the opportunity to give your devotion or express your devotion to Christ. Profession is great, but application is even greater. So building on the sand, there's weak foundation. Okay, on the rock is actually strong foundation. Okay, when you build on sand, any sand castle will be wiped out soon enough by the waves. But when you build foundation on the rock, it's going to be strong. In 1173, there was a tower that was built. Many of you are probably familiar with this one. And it was a bell tower for the town of Pisa. And I don't know if you know, it took them 344 years to build this bell tower. Not because it took a while for construction to happen, but because of wars in between the construction, in the middle of the construction. But in 1989, the Leaning Tower of Pisa was closed down because it was continuously leaning. And they were afraid if one more overweight tourist would go up there, it might topple over. And so in 1989, they closed down the Leaning Tower and spent $27.5 million to be able to renovate and to fix it. And so, of course, there was a long debate. They were saying, you know, should we just fix it or we just keep it at the lean, right? Of course, you know what happened, right? They had to keep it at the lean. If not, it will no longer be the won't be in the Leaning Tower of Pisa. And so, it now is on a permanent lean of 13.5 meters. But it had cost them, you know, $27.5 million. And so weak foundations will cost us. But strong foundations will keep us going even through the tough times. In fact, there was a poster one time in the Singapore airport that showed this photo or similar photo. It said, great facade, bad foundations. See, that's going to be the story of our life if we don't have the Word of God. as our foundation. And finally, quicker and longer. On the sand, it's quicker to build it. But on the rock, it's longer. It takes exceptional perseverance and maximum effort to build strong foundations. And you see, obedience to Christ is not about perfection, but about direction. You're going this direction. And you say, okay, Lord, I'm going to go this. And it seems like sometimes you're going, moving forward, moving backwards, but just keep moving. And it's kind of like this picture right here, up and down, right? It's an up and down road, but just keep moving that direction. Don't turn around 180, go back to your old life. Keep moving forward. Remember, Jesus saved you. You've been bought with a price. You no longer live for yourself. You are not your own. You are for Him. He is your King. Question is, do we read and obey? Okay. And I, you know, my wife and I, we counsel. We talk to a lot of couples, and some singles, some couples, you know. And you know, one of the things that we ask them, how's your time in the Word? How's your time in the Word? And because a lot of the things that we go through, if we align our life to God's Word, it's going to get fixed. It's going to get fixed. Our obedience to God's Word, whether that's anger, loving our enemies, our purity, retaliating, or unforgiveness, or even discipleship. We've talked about discipleship, and you've heard about discipleship so many times, and you know it's good. It's not good for man to be alone. I know that pertains to Adam and Eve, but it's also not good for man to be alone, living this life alone without small group discipleship or people walking with you and praying with you. You've heard that often enough, and yeah, I know about that. Okay, you know about that, but what are you doing about it? I guess kind of like if I tell my son Joaquin, who's 9 years old, I say, Joaquin, I need you to clean your room. Okay, Dad. All right, so my expectation, he's going to obey me, right? And so he goes up in this room and plays with his Legos and plays with his action figures. And then I go in there after 20 minutes and say, Joaquin, I told you to fix your room and clean your room. Yeah, Dad, I obeyed. What do you mean you obeyed? It's still unkempt, right? Well, Dad, here's what I did to obey. Okay, I printed out your instructions on paper, and I said, and it says there, clean your room, Dad. I obeyed you, Lord. I obey you, Lord. Yeah, I wish you can call me Lord. Okay, I obeyed you, Dad. And plus, you know what, Dad? I checked out the word clean in the Greek. Okay, and not only that, I made sure that, you know, I can recite and memorize your command. Clean your room, Dad. Punzalan 1, chapter 1, verse 3. Okay. I think you know what I'm pointing at. That we can know the Greek, the Hebrew. We can print it on our desktop wallpapers. We can put it on an index card on our pocket, or we can have whatever you choose to do. You can memorize the scripture, okay, from Genesis to maps, right, and memorize all that. So we're gonna sound like Joaquin. Dad, I printed out clean your room. Dad, I checked out the Greek clean. But question is, did you clean your room? And so for us, same thing. We can do all that. And you know, a lot of people sometimes say, you know, Pastor Paul, I want the deep things of God. I want the ramifications and the soteriological ramifications of the coming of Christ. Amillennial, premillennial, and all this teaching. Those are great teaching, but listen. You know what the deep things of God are? If you go down deep in the foundation and apply them into your life. Future. The one guy built on the rock and it didn't fall. The other person built on sand and great was the fall, the Bible says. You know, storms will come, I said earlier. And storms are inevitable, but destruction is optional. It'll come. And your life may not be storm-free, but it can be storm-proof. What's that mean? That you and I today, we will inevitably experience storms, but you will not be storm-free, but you can be storm-proof. That when storms come, you have the ability to withstand them. Why? Because your feet are upon the rock, which is Christ and His Word, and obedient. You're obedient to His Word. You know, there's a guy, his name is C.T. Studd. You gotta love his name. He's a stud, right? That's his name, okay? C.T. Studd, okay? He was one of the Cambridge Seven. If you check out church history, he's one of the Cambridge Seven that went to China. He heard the call from God and left everything. I said, Lord, I'm gonna follow you. I'm gonna do whatever it takes. And he said, some want to live in the within the sound of a church or chapel bell. I want to run a rescue shop within a yard of hell. And so he wants to rescue people from hell, and bring people to Christ, and bring people into heaven. And so, and this is one of his famous lines. He said this, only one life, it will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. One of my most favorite quotes, I've heard this maybe 20 plus years ago, and it's stuck with me ever since. Because you and I today, our life here on earth is quite brief. Yes, 80 years. Yes, maybe 90. Some of us may reach 100, yes. But that's a drop in the bucket, and that's just very brief in light of eternity. And so what C.T. Studd is here saying is, he's saying is, this life, only one life. The foundations I'm building, what is it for in the long term? Sure, we can build a good career. Sure, we can build a good bank account. But only what's done for Christ, that's the one that will last. And again, I'm not saying we all should be missionaries or pastors, but you can be full-time missionaries in the workplace, in the campus, wherever you're at today. At the APEC, at the Build Conference, one of the guys, I don't know if you can you see my picture there? I'm underneath number 2 of 2017. But anyway, the guy beside me there, can't even see myself. But the guy on my right, if I'm not, I think that's him. But a few years ago, I got to visit him. And my wife and I got to visit him and prayed for him. And at that time, the doctors were saying, maybe he has cancer. And in the recent times, it was confirmed, and because of his cancer, it has grown, and it has a big lump in his back now. I saw him again at the conference this week, and he said that doctors gave him about less than 2 years. I don't know if you ever get that report, what you'll do with that information, right? 2 years to go, what do you do? That's a good question to ask ourselves. If you were given 2 years, what do you do? And so 2 years he was given. But you know, I asked him, what will you do? Same thing as I've done before. I'll serve Jesus. I'll keep planting churches. You know, recently their church had to be closed down because of a crackdown. But the church, as a result, has grown into three. That one church that was closed down, it broke up into three, and now it's growing even more. And he's continuously preaching the gospel and advancing the kingdom of God. What a foundation. He says, my life will soon pass. Only what's done for Christ, that's the one that will last. What are we building in the long term? And so that's my challenge for all of us. And I pray that you build everything upon the rock of His Word. And when storms come, you will be able to stand and withstand whatever storms may come. So we end our time in verse 28. The Bible says, I'm going to ask the worship team to come up. When Jesus has finished these sayings, the crowds were amazed at His teaching. It's good to be amazed at His teaching. But let's not stop there. The Bible says in James chapter 1, don't be hearers, just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. And so I want to encourage us today as we wrap our time here today. A few applications. Number one, assess the foundation. What are we building our life on? It's great to build our career. It's great to build our future security, our portfolio. It's good to invest so that our children will have something after we go. But ultimately, what do we build our life on? Ask how much time you devote to building that foundation on God's Word. And so, do you set some time? Do you set a time on reading the Word? This is the rock of God's the foundation that Jesus was talking about, reading the Word. And so, I want to encourage you, don't just approach it as an obligation, but approach it as a privilege. It's a time to connect with your King. And then ask God which areas of your life you need to step up in the area of obedience. And I don't know what that is for you, and we're going to pray through that in a moment. Is it in the area of purity? It's in the area of relationships, in the area of unforgiveness. It's in the area of, I don't know, giving, tithing, generosity, truthfulness, your words, or accuracy of your words, forgiveness or unforgiveness that's in your heart, whatever that is. I think the Holy Spirit's going to speak to you about that. Could you bow your heads? Jesus, we don't want to just be amazed about your teaching. They're great teaching. They're great lessons, Lord. But beyond just lessons, we pray that they would be life application for us. And so, Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would minister and move even now. Any area of our life, whether that would be reading Scripture, whether that would be time devoted in prayer for you, or whether that would be giving up certain things or releasing things for you or to you, or doing things that we haven't been doing, whatever that might be today, Lord, I pray that you would speak to us. The verse that came to mind was this. Remember the story when the storm hit the boat, or at least there was a storm when they were the disciples were in the boat, and Jesus was sleeping, and you know they were all panicking, but Jesus saved them from the storm. Just a thought. Some of you here, you're going through a storm. Don't forget, Jesus is in your boat. Don't forget. And sometimes I guess we panic and we row and we pull that oar and strive, forgetting, oh, okay, the Lord of the storm, the Lord of the heaven and the earth is here. And so I just wanted to remind us all of that. And I know you know that, but I just wanted to give you that encouragement today. That though you go through a storm today, because your feet are on the rock of His foundation, on the rock of His Word, remember also that He is in your boat. And Lord, I pray as we leave today, Lord, the foundation is you, Christ, and your word upon our life. And so, Lord, I pray, even as we, Lord, remind ourselves, Lord, that through the storm, Lord, you're there in a boat. And you are the Lord of the storm and Lord of the heavens and the earth. And so, Father God, I pray that as we leave, let that peace that surpasses all human understanding guard our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Father God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.